It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have sunny skies. It is currently 33 degrees. No, it's jumped up to 36. Looking for a high of 37 today with northwest winds to 10. Mostly cloudy tonight with northwest winds to 5. And a 20% chance of snow tomorrow after 10 a.m. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high near 35. Northwest winds to 5. Coming up on the Midday Report, Anchorage police officials say it's time to put body cameras on officers, but another snag has been hit. Left-of-center candidates are leading 6 of 7 Anchorage Assembly races so far. And the Yukon River system is being closed early for sport fishing for king and chum salmon this year. Alaska Department Fish and Game tells us why. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Hundreds of demonstrators are protesting outside of the Capitol building in Nashville at this hour as the Tennessee legislature prepares to vote on the expulsion of 3 Democratic lawmakers. The Republican supermajority is expected to remove the members for taking part in protests calling for stricter gun reform legislation on the House floor last week. Alexis Marshall of member station WPLN reports from the State House.
Among those protesting the expulsion was ninth grader Asatira X. After last week's shooting at the Covenant School, she says she's scared of going to school and shouldn't have to worry about active shooters and barricading classroom doors. She's frustrated that the legislature is punishing the representatives who voiced her concerns.
I feel like it's just a big, like, middle finger to us, you know what I mean? Because this is like, you're really eliminating these people because they're just speaking out on what they believe in.
Other protesters called moves like this fascist. They say shutting down dissenting voices threatens the state's democracy. For NPR News, I'm Alexis Marshall in Nashville.
The National Security Council has released a summary of its lessons learned from the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan a year and a half ago. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the assessment places a lot of the blame on the former Trump administration.
Transitions matter. That's one of the key takeaways of the after-action reviews on Afghanistan. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby points out that it was the Trump administration that made a deal with the Taliban to withdraw U.S. troops, and if it had a plan, it didn't share it with President Biden.
He came in with a certain set of circumstances he had no ability to change. He had to deal with it based on what he inherited.
Kirby defends the decision to end America's longest war, and he dismisses criticism of the chaotic scenes at the Kabul airport, saying there was no way to do this easily. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The United Kingdom's competition regulator says it's examining a proposed Amazon acquisition. Phila Marks reports the takeover target is a Massachusetts-based company that manufactures a robotic vacuum cleaner known as the Roomba.
Britain's Competition and Markets Authority is seeking comments from any, quote, interested party in the $1.7 billion potential takeover, including any potential evidence that the deal might reduce competition in UK markets. This could prompt a more extensive investigation, as antitrust campaigners warn that Amazon could soon dominate the market for smart home devices with even greater access to consumers' lives.
That's Phila Marks reporting from London. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow was up 2 points, the Nasdaq up 91. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Anchorage police officials say the timeline to put body cameras on officers has hit another delay. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, some assembly members say they may need to take a more hands-on approach to get the cameras implemented.
Community members are tired of waiting for body cameras, says Chugiak Eagle River Assembly Member Kevin Cross.
I've been telling my community councils that we've been moving forward and giving them, you know, widely optimistic or at least mildly optimistic feedback. So now I'm going to have to go back this month and say sorry. And they're going to want answers.
Cross spoke at an Assembly Public Safety Committee meeting Wednesday, where Deputy Police Chief Sean Case gave an update on the status of body cameras. The police department and the union representing the officers have been locked in negotiations over the body camera policy for months. They announced last year that they would enter arbitration over it, which was set to begin as early as April. Case told Assembly members that arbitration has now been delayed to late fall.
There's an additional issue that came up in negotiations. And both parties agreed that that additional complication with the policy that came up required more preparation time and potentially even a longer arbitration period.
Case said he couldn't go into details over what issue is delaying the arbitration process. Back in 2021, Anchorage voters approved a $1.8 million tax levy to purchase and implement body cameras for officers. Celeste Hodge-Groudon is president of the nonprofit Alaska Black Caucus, which has long advocated for the body cameras. During public testimony at the meeting, she criticized the lack of answers on what's holding up the arbitration.
This is past the point of frustration. It's ridiculous. It just seems that at every meeting, there's a whole new situation that prolongs officers from being outfitted with body cam.
The Anchorage Police Department is among the last large public safety departments in the state without body cameras. Departments in cities like Fairbanks and Juneau have officers outfitted with cameras, as do smaller rural communities like Kotzebue and Nome. The Alaska State Troopers released a draft body camera policy in February. Cross says that so far, the Assembly has taken a hands-off approach to the body camera policy, letting the police department and the union work it out on their own. But he said he doesn't think it'll stay that way.
My anticipation is that given this most recent information, they're probably going to take a more proactive role with some sort of resolution or an executive session to figure out why this doesn't seem to be progressing.
While the body cameras are still months away from being implemented, Anchorage Police Chief Michael Curl says the department is working to finalize the vendor of the cameras. He says a decision will be made by the end of next week. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Left of center candidates are leading in 6 out of 7 Anchorage Assembly races after voting ended and the initial batch of unofficial municipal election results were released on Tuesday night. These early results are not decisive. Tens of thousands more ballots are expected to be counted in the next coming days. But as of election night, the gaps between each leading candidate and their closest opponent were wide, ranging from 11 to 42 percentage points. At a subdued election night party in a downtown office, conservative South Anchorage candidate Rachel Reese reacted to the initial results.
People who vote early, that's always the way, right? It tends to be a little more progressive or left leaning on the vote, and then the people who tend to be more conservative or right leaning do it in person, so I expect there to be some shifts.
The assembly is nonpartisan, though in recent years it's been dominated by an unofficial block of progressives. The 12-member assembly has clashed with conservative Mayor Dave Bronson since he took office in 2021. Progressive Assembly incumbent Felix Rivera said he felt the mayor was spending an unusual amount of time and energy publicly criticizing him in the run-up to the election. Rivera, who is leading his conservative opponent, Travis Zanto, had two takeaways from the initial results.
The people want a strong assembly to act as a check to this mayor. The second thing I think this says is that people are sick and tired of candidates who are running fear-based and anger-based campaigns.
Other questions asked voters to authorize up to $84 million in municipal debt, mostly for school and road infrastructure. And a proposal to use marijuana taxes to fund child care and early education is also passing.
It shows that there is a widespread recognition across all ends of the political spectrum that child care is important not only for families but also for our business community.
That was Ivy Sponholz. She helped organize the campaign for that one. Election officials plan to update the unofficial results each evening this week. The Yukon River system is being closed to sport fishing for king and chum salmon. The action covers the entire drainage, including the Tanana River. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Tanana Area sport biologist Andrew Griska says managers decided to make the closure call in April instead of waiting until June.
With the past couple years, poor runs, and again, another poor forecast, we decided to issue the emergency order now just to give a little bit more time for sport fishermen that were looking forward to fishing this summer. They would have some advance notice and they could adjust their plans accordingly.
Griska says managers will reevaluate the closure based on actual salmon passage this summer as counted by sonar at Pilot Station near the river's mouth. The Yukon River drainage sport fishing closure is for kings as well as summer and fall chum salmon and is effective as of Wednesday, April 5th. According to a state release, subsistence fishing closures or restrictions are also anticipated again this year. Surveyors with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game are knocking on doors in Unalaska this week and asking questions about salmon. Jackie Keating is a researcher with the department's subsistence division, and she says they are conducting 200 surveys, and whose doors they knock on is random.
We're interested in all kinds of ways that people get fish. We do differentiate between methods on the survey, so we'll be able to tell if folks harvested from rod and reel or from a subsistence net or something like that. But it's meant to be a very holistic view of use of fish in the community.
Individual data is kept anonymous and can reveal important trends. The department's last study showed salmon made up 42% of the subsistence harvest in Unalaska. That's a huge percentage, according to Subsistence Division researcher Chance Wilcox.
I mean, subsistence is a way of life for rural Alaska, and so we want to be able to accurately portray what that looks like and then be able to make better decisions.
For one example, Keating says past survey data factored into the 2016 decision to close Unalaska Bay to commercial trawling in an effort to protect subsistence.
It really comes out to play in like the regulatory arena, like if folks want to put in a Board of Fish proposal or some sort of federal fisheries proposal, having that long-term data set can be really beneficial.
Fish and Game will host meetings in Unalaska this fall to review the collected data. After that, the department will also publish the survey results. Over 100 Homer residents gathered for a recent community forum to discuss short and long-term solutions for housing in the area. Ideas ranged from regulating short-term rentals to a Homer app for available housing to low-interest construction loans and tax breaks for building multifamily affordable homes. KBBI's Corinne Smith has this report.
Penelope Haas has lived in Homer for nearly a decade. 6 years ago, she purchased land and is working on building a home.
I, in the time that I've lived in Homer, have watched it transform, and my friends and acquaintances, people who everyone I talk to, make me feel like it is increasingly difficult for people with regular jobs, teachers, people in the grocery store, contractors, to afford to live here.
Haas is one of many concerned residents that turned out to a recent community forum to discuss housing challenges and brainstorm solutions. She says she'd like to see regulation of short-term rentals listed through platforms like Airbnb and VRBO.
You can see that in the data that half the homes built in Homer in the past couple years are not occupied.
She points to a permit system used in Lake Tahoe, California, a popular year-round tourism destination, to regulate the numbers of vacation rentals.
It's a limited entry permit system, which is how we manage our salmon fisheries. The limited entry permit system, as it applies to B&Bs in Homer, would help us, first of all, get a handle on who has Airbnbs and how many there are.
She says she doesn't want to curtail tourism, which is an important economic driver for the community, but wants to see residents' needs put first. Shannon McBride-Morin echoed the need for addressing the growing number of short-term rentals. She was born and raised in Homer and is owner of the Kachemak Bay Wilderness Lodge in Chinapoot Bay. She says they employ roughly 15 summer workers, which they provide housing for. But she wants to see affordability also addressed.
I care deeply about people who come to live and work in Homer, whether it's just to work seasonally for the summer or who want to start a family or just who want to live here year-round, feeling like it's possible and it's affordable and they can do it and they're not using every penny they make to pay their rent and to buy their groceries.
Anna Reed is a Homer-based realtor. She grew up in the community and has also struggled to find year-round housing as she is saving up to buy a home. She points to a gap between the number of vacant homes and the number of renters.
Kind of having an efficient system that documents and allows people to find housing versus word of mouth, which is very effective if you lived here for a long time and you know a lot of people. But I was actually interested in the idea of developing some kind of app that's catered to short-term season renters and then long-term year-round rentals that people can find resources a little bit more easily.
Reed says available housing is quite low and recent increases in interest rates make it challenging for buyers seeking loans. She sees a good short-term solution in building multifamily homes or additional units on existing properties.
Taking a home that's already existing, that's laying vacant, and having some sort of help, whether from the city or some sort of loan, where someone could easily add an additional dwelling unit, whether just by putting up a wall or a doorway through a staircase or a kitchenette or a bathroom, something kind of small that would allow someone's otherwise large vacant home to be kind of sectioned off in a way that they feel comfortable and secure and they could rent that small portion of their home out.
Residents also talked about land availability and exploring incentives like public land sales from the city or borough at affordable rates for building more housing. Robert Ruffner is the planning director of the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
I think some of the other solutions that came up is, you know, kind of looking at our vacancy rates, you know, land that doesn't have any structures on it, you know, why is that happening? It seems like the return on investment for developers right now is not to develop what we would consider tiny homes or more affordable solutions for housing, but the market is really primed for seasonal rentals or simply just speculation because we see the land values are going up so high in Alaska because it is such a nice place to live.
Organizers of the community forum will be compiling the ideas for housing solutions generated by residents and will be making it available to the public later this month. In Homer, I'm Corinne Smith.
A former Houston treasurer stole more than $1 million from the Mat-Su community and a Wasilla company where he later worked, according to federal prosecutors. Jess George Adams, 65, was arrested this week on wire fraud, money laundering, and tax evasion charges. In a 31-count indictment, prosecutors say Adams' three-year tenure as treasurer gave him access to Houston's accounting books. He allegedly used that access to transfer $274,000 of city funds to personal bank accounts before he was placed on administrative leave and resigned in 2018. The bulk of the embezzled funds, about $887,000, were taken using similar methods from a Wasilla-based equipment company Adams worked for from 2019 to 2021. Prosecutors also say Adams filed fraudulent tax returns from 2016 to 2021, which didn't mention the stolen money. Adams is being held at the Anchorage Correctional Complex after an initial court appearance on Wednesday.
Jobless claims remain low despite signs of labor market cooling. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute. Initial claims for unemployment benefits fell by 18,000 last week to a total of 228,000. The total number of people receiving benefits ticked up slightly to 1.8 million. Little changed despite job openings falling to their lowest level in nearly 2 years. The Labor Department releases its comprehensive monthly jobs report tomorrow. Ford and Stellantis say starting April 18, most of their electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles will only get half of the $7,500 in total tax credits available from the government. That's when rules change and require more of a car battery's components to be North American made. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate investment and technology. See a brighter way.
Music.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 6th day of April, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 7:23. It will set again at 9:01. That will give us 13 hours and 38 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 58 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 14 degrees set in 1970, and our record high was 60 degrees set in 1963. Currently 36 degrees under fair skies. It's a beautiful day in Kodiak. Out at the airport, they have northwest winds at 9 miles per hour, 48% humidity, and 10 miles of visibility. Sunny skies are expected for the rest of the afternoon with northwest winds to 10, a high near 37. For tonight, look for increasing cloudiness with a low around 24, northwest winds to 5, becoming completely calm tonight. And for tomorrow, a 20% chance of snow after 11 a.m. with mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, a high near 35 and north winds to 5. But after having mostly cloudy skies on Friday night, we're expecting mostly sunny skies on Saturday, sunny skies on Sunday, and mostly sunny skies on Monday, too. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up this afternoon. That will happen at 3:13 p.m. here on the east side and be 7.9 feet. That will be followed by a low tide at 9:03 p.m. of 6/10. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 3:43 this afternoon and be 13.8 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 9:45 p.m. of 7/10. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side, out to 15 miles offshore. Northwest 20 today, seas to 5 feet. North 15 tonight, seas to 4 feet. And northeast 15 tomorrow, seas to 4 feet. For Saturday through Monday on our east side, they are calling for northwest 35 and seas to 9 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for today with northwest winds to 25 knots, gusting to 40 knots out of bays and passes today in the Shelikof. Look for 4-foot seas with freezing spray along western bays and passes. For tonight, north 20 seas to 2 feet, and for tomorrow in the Shelikof, north 15 seas to 3 feet. But, of course, Saturday through Monday, they are calling for west winds to 30 knots and seas to 8 feet. Don't forget to visit the Lutik Museum tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. for April's first Friday Art Walk. This month's theme is Aleutic Seal Artists in Action. They will be hosting Aleutic Seal Artist Hannah Scholl and Cassie Rowland and her daughter Bailey. Watch the artists create and ask questions about their work. Again, that's tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Aleutic Museum. Tonight, the Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting in the Kodiak Borough Assembly Chambers. That will be happening at 6:30 p.m. However, the Assembly Special Budget Work Session, which was to be held on Saturday, has been canceled. So that budget work session that was to be held Saturday at 9 a.m. has been canceled. On April 12th, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session, again in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And on April 13th, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. Join Galley Tables for an evening of music and storytelling on Saturday, April 15th, that's a week from this Saturday, at the St. Mary's Gym. This month's theme is Fools Rush In. There should be some really good tales around that. 7 storytellers have 7 minutes each to tell their story. The music starts at 7 p.m. and the stories start at 7:30. Don't miss this great, heartwarming, funny, and fun community event. Donations are accepted but not required. That's again Saturday, April 15th. At St. Mary's Gym, beginning at 7 p.m. Things happening at the library include today's Library Chess Club meeting. That happens at 3 p.m. today. Drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your chess skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages. Also, don't forget the library's escape room is open. That runs through April 14th. Daily time slots are available except for Thursdays. Open to all ages, but children under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. Groups of three are recommended. Call the library at 486-8686 to reserve your spot. And don't forget, every Wednesday at 3:30 p.m., the library offers their Lego Club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Library hours are Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, call the library on the phone at 907-486-8686. And it's coming up, the Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival. That's happening tomorrow, April 7th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Films start at 7 p.m., and that happens at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. Always lots of fun. Again, that is tomorrow. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Films start at 7 at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival. It's a chance to renew or become a new member. Do that online, or you can pay for your membership at the door. Special Finds is a new nonprofit thrift store that provides job training and meaningful employment to people with special needs. They have an event coming up, the Special Finds Pop-Up Store. That's happening Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, from 9 to 5 each day at 1216 Ismailoff Street. That's in the gym of the Berrien Baptist Church. They will have a whole lot of clothing for men, women, and children of all ages, as well as shoes, books, and household items. For more information, contact them at 907-942-1992. But again, that's Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, 9 to 5 at the gym of the Berrien Baptist Church on Ismailoff Street. The Volunteer of the Year Award is being presented by the Kodiak Community Foundation. Is there someone who goes above and beyond to help your mission and organization? They would like to thank them. Send their name and a short statement about why you are nominating the individual. The selected volunteer will be awarded $1,000 to give to the Kodiak nonprofit of their choice, hopefully yours. Email your nomination to kerryirons@gmail.com. That's K-E-R-R-Y. irons@gmail.com, and the new deadline is April 14th, so you still have about a week. Classes coming up at the Kodiak College include Braiding 101. That's happening Saturday from 10 to 11, April 8th, so this Saturday. Learn a variety of braids from instructor Crystal Wheeler. Bring your own hair model and learn how to create a French braid, Dutch braid, and the fishtail braid. Again, that's happening April 8th, this Saturday, 10 to 11 a.m. Also, April 4th through 20th, on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 12:45, weightlifting with Tracy Chandler. Gain strength and get toned while fitting workouts into your workday, lunch break, and in this six-session weightlifting class with ABA owner and certified personal trainer Tracy Chandler. Again, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays, noon to 12:45, with Tracy Chandler. You can find out more about these things at the Kodiak College website. Don't miss Spring Twang. That's happening April 7th and Saturday, April 8th. That is tomorrow and Saturday at Tony's Bar, featuring live music from Crooked Island, Drew Sablon, and Ellamy Tiller and the Twang. Tickets are available online at kmxt.org and at the station here at 620 Egan Way. Proceeds go to support KMXT and all of Kodiak Public Broadcasting. Coming up, Spring Twang. And the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announces its Kodiak Regional Planning Team will meet Wednesday, April 19th at 9 a.m. via Zoom. Topics of the meeting will include seasonal hatchery and monitoring operations, sport fish seasonal projections, as well as continued discussion on process and working definitions of potential wild stock sanctuary designations. For additional information, call Dakota Edlund at 907-486-1852.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.